I'd like to talk to you about an important segment of human history today, and it is the book of Genesis. It's an extremely important piece of history. I have a visual aid. This in my hand is a picture of human history. Four thousand BC, 2000 AD, and the green area here is 4000 BC to about 1500 BC. That would be Genesis, the book of Genesis. And in blue, the rest of the Old Testament. And in red, the New Testament. So that is 40%, better than 40% of human history is described by the book of Genesis. Genesis is not only our best source for that 40% of history, it's about the only source. Most ancient histories go back 1000 BC, and if you try to go back beyond 1000 BC, you're getting into some pretty murky chronology. Things are pretty murky without the Bible before that date. There's nothing else like the book of Genesis when it comes to ancient history. But Moses lived at that 1500 BC mark, around that time. So how did he know, right? There's just 2,500 years. How did Moses know what went on 2,500 years before him? I want to point out that there's a sort of a bibliography within the book of Genesis built in. These are markers in the book of Genesis where Moses recorded the sources of what he was transcribing. And I think this is very important because it establishes the truth, the accuracy of that book. Nothing else, no other work in the world tells us who made us and why. It is the foundation of our faith. It's important that we know that it is true and accurate. If you were in St. Paul Church area back in the 90s, you might remember Mr. Mitch Knapp talking about the books of Genesis. That was news to me then. I had never heard that before. And I did speak about it a little later, again, brought up what he had brought up. But I went back to my notes, and the last time I talked about that subject was 20 years ago. So as I say, I think the statute of limitations has run out. I can bring this up again. I have two words. You might have noticed two odd words in the title if you have a bulletin. Two words to add to our vocabulary today. Word number one, toledoth, T-O-L-E-D-O-T-H. Toledoth. This is a Hebrew word. Well, it's an anglicization of a Hebrew word. It appears 39 times in the Bible, but it appears 13 times in the book of Genesis, and it's those 13 times in the book of Genesis that are very significant. That's what I want to dwell on today. It's the word toledoth is translated generations. For example, in chapter 6 of Genesis, it says that this is the toledoth of Noah, or this is the generations of Noah. It means literally that this is the family record of Noah. This is the book of Noah's origin. And that book was probably originally a clay tablet. That's the way they did things in the Middle East. If you can make impressions on a clay tablet with a stylus, dry that clay tablet to the consistency of a rock, and it's virtually an indestructible, permanent record. And that's how they kept records in those days. Thousands of such tablets have been found in the Middle East, preserved in that dry climate. This is the toledoth of Noah, means that this is Noah's book, or Noah's tablet. It's a record of where Noah came from. It's his Genesis, the Genesis of Noah. The other vocabulary word, this one, colophon, C-O-L-O, P-H-O-N, colophon. This is not a biblical word. This is an English word, comes from Greek and Latin, meaning final touch. And it was used in the book industry. Historically, when somebody printed a book or copied a book, if it was a scribe, they put a colophon at the end of the book describing who printed it and when it was printed. That was called the colophon. Nowadays, the colophon has moved to the front of the book. My Bible, for example, has a colophon. It says, Thomas Nelson Incorporated, Nashville, Camden, New York. That is a colophon. Turns out that the 13 Toledoths in the book of Genesis are colophons. That is, they identify the book or the tablet that Moses copied into the book of Genesis. Now, this is not something I made up. Mr. Knapp didn't make it up either. It's pretty well known in the last 80 years, just in the last 80 years or so. Just Google those two words, Toledoth, colophon. Google them, you'll find all kinds of details about where those books divide. But point for us to know, keep in mind, is that these Toledoths are colophons. In other words, when Moses copied an ancient document into Genesis, he also copied the document's colophon. Like any good historian, you cite your sources. And he recorded his sources. Each document ends with, this is the Toledoth of someone. It's always not always been recognized, however. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, for example. It's not always recognized that these are colophons. Genesis 5. Moses wrote in verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Literally, this is the book of the Toledoth of Adam. Now the question is, what does this mean? This is the book. Is he talking about the things that follow? Is that describing Adam? Or is this the end of the book? Is this referring to chapter 4, or is it referring to chapter 5? The credit for understanding these colophons belongs to an Englishman named P.J. Wiseman. Wiseman was a British officer serving in the Middle East. He was a student of archaeology as well as the Bible, and he visited many archaeological sites in Mesopotamia. And he talked to the archaeologists there, and they pointed out to him that all these clay tablets ended with colophons. This is the history of, and names the person who wrote it or who owned that document. So Wiseman then recognized from his knowledge of the Bible that the Toledoths of Genesis are the same thing. That's where they come from. This is the key, that the colophon is at the end of the tablet. So when Moses copied the tablet, each source document, he included the colophon. The word occurs 13 times in the book of Genesis, probably identifies 11 books, as I would count them, 11 books that came from clay tablets that make up most of the book of Genesis. Then, at the end of Genesis, from chapters 37 through 50, is the story of Joseph. There's no colophon, there's no Toledoth, I should say. There's no Toledoth at the end of the story of Joseph, probably because Joseph's story was written in Egypt on papyrus, not clay tablets. Although, if you look at the first few verses of the book of Exodus, they could very well be considered a colophon of the story of Joseph. You'll also notice, as we see here in chapter 5, that the chapter breaks do not help us recognize the colophons, because the chapter breaks were written 800 years ago, around 1200 AD. But the recognition of the colophons was not recognized until about 100 years ago, 80 years ago. So the chapter breaks put the colophons often at the beginning of a section as if they were the introduction to the following section, like chapter 5 begins with a colophon. But it really belongs to the book that ended there. You'll have to draw your own lines as to where the books end. As I say, you can go to Google and Google colophon and Toledoth, and you'll find lots of details. There are several theories about where to draw those lines. It's not really very important where you draw those lines. The important thing is to know that there are underlying documents, and that is why Genesis is an accurate history. You know, there was a theory in the last century, particularly, it's kind of out of favor now, the documentary hypothesis, which made popular the idea that Genesis and the first five books of the Bible were basically forgeries, pious forgeries put together by priests of different documents with different words for the name of God. Basically, it was invented. It was pseudo-intellectual fiction. But it is true. We do know that there were documents. They weren't put together in the 5th century BC. They are probably as ancient as creation itself, at least the first book. The colophons confirm the literal and historical accuracy of Genesis. What's particularly interesting to me is the first one, the first book of Genesis. I won't go through them all. We don't have that kind of time. But the first book of Genesis in the beginning, so in chapter 1, ends with chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. That is the end of the book of Adam. And then it says in verse 4. Verse 4, these are the generations. These are the Toledoth of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the book of the Creator. This is his record of the creation of the world. Comes before the book of Adam. Book of Adam is in chapters 2 through 4. And it covers the 6 days of creation that only God was a witness to. So how did we get the document? It doesn't tell us whether God dictated this document to Adam or whether God wrote it with his own finger like he wrote the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments. But it is the document, the first document, the book, that says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, which tells us that God didn't make us as playthings, did he? He didn't make us to toy with us, that God, the Creator, is good. He made us for a good reason, and this is something we could not know if we didn't have this document called the Book of the Heavens and the Earth. And in the second book, the Book of Adam, we learn that God made the tree of life, and that Jesus, and that if we listen to God and are faithful to him, that we could be given life as he has life. And those are the things of the why of creation that we wouldn't know without these books. It just remained until Jesus Christ to learn the how. How could this happen? How could this be possible? So Genesis is not just history, it's the basis of the gospel. And it is based on fact. It is reliable history. It's composed of historical documents, real documents, bearing the words of real people who are witnesses.